Hola, what's happening? This is the Maniacal Menace Councilman speaking from the future about the past and the present. Good times with good old DD. It's always a great time talking to friends before the pandemic and after the pandemic. The pandemic has got people going crazy. The world is in an uproar, but we're going to make our way through it. We're going to make our way through. Stay prayed up. Hug your loved ones. Check on your strong friends. Tell them you missed them. Listen up and enjoy these words. You can follow me at The Maniacal Menace on Instagram, maniacalmenace.com. That's ManiacalMenace. Like and subscribe, niggas. I think it's time to blow this scene. Get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
I don't drink Crown Royal, but I need a Crown Royal bag for my new tarot cards. I just need the bag. I just need the bag.
Oh, I don't even think we're just going to do any testing. We can just know how you feel. You feeling all right?
I feel wonderful.
You good? Okay, good. What's up? Boom, we just going to get into it. Okay. How is everybody doing? We didn't even do no test today. Mm-hmm. You can feel however you feel. Yeah. Today, welcome back to another edition of Tell Me a Joke. The Guideline of Chasing the Dream. I am your host, the Maniacal Menace, Kyle Smith. Say like the whole thing, like a pimp named Slickback. And today, man, we have just a dynamic powerhouse of a being today. I've started this in the car. I had so much more to tell you. I had so much more to put it in there. But just give it up. Give it up for DDT.
Okay.
Hey, DD.
Hey, y'all.
Hi.
How y'all hoes doing?
How y'all hoes doing? I love it. Your intro, anytime you come up, it's just like, oh, I hope motherfuckers have braced themselves. Please buckle up. Because most people come up and it's like, oh, this is all right. Let's see what she's going to talk about. And then, boom, your face will get hurt. You're like, you and Geneva are in the field of making white women cry.
Aww.
And it just... Oh, it brings joy to my heart from time to time.
Well, she makes white women cry. I mostly just make white men terrified. I make they dicks go back up inside their body.
Ooh, there you go. That's an art. That's a skill. That's a skill that you're bringing. And well, I mean, I don't do it.
I mean, so. I've been doing it all my life, apparently. I don't know.
Huh.
I don't know how, but for whatever reason, I've always... White dudes often tell me this as a compliment.
As a compliment.
Yeah, too much. You know, Didi, you know, you like, I would be interested in you because you're, like, hot, but you're also so scary.
So scary.
Like, okay.
That's what white people come and tell you.
That's what white dudes tell me. That's what white dudes really be telling me. That so much. You're, like, I would try to date you, but you're just, I'm terrified of you. Okay.
You have a demeanor. You have a demeanor that's like, come correct, motherfucker, or I will hurt your feelings.
Well, I'm glad I ain't got to say it, because if I got to have the conversation with you.
Oh, good.
We're already
good
past it.
You know that. That's awesome.
What?
When you know, you know. And, you know.
I'm just a very nice person. It's just
that.
In real life, we always got to deal with, I guess, people coming at us with their shit. You know, that's.
All the time.
And I get tired of that shit. Like,
I don't care.
Like, how much of it I got to put up with?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, everybody gets, like, two.
Oh, you give... Yo, see? I just immediately don't care.
Like, everybody gets two. Because I like keeping the peace. I'm... Just because I know what I'm capable of.
Right.
And I know once I go there, I'm not coming back with you.
Oh.
So, like, once that line gets crossed, there's no going back over the line and starting over.
Nah.
I don't start over.
No.
So... I keep the peace. It's like, you know what? Everybody's human. We all cross lines with
never
people.
Stop beefing.
You know? Exactly. Like, it's for life. So I prevent the beef just because I know it. As soon as I get there with you, we're done.
We are finished.
Every time I see you, I'm cussing you out.
Yeah.
Like, every time I see you,
God.
It's beef. And I don't have that with many people because I give people a lot of leeway at first because I understand that we're all human. You have to get used to people. You have to... You can't expect people to just be perfect.
I can't expect you to be an adult immediately.
Right, because I understand humans too well. And I can't expect of people what I know I'm not capable of myself.
That's good, because that's a trait as a comic that's like our superpower. Like yeah. We're able to read a room really, really good compared to other people. And other people don't see stupid situations happening. And, like, to be able to see, like, oh, I need to get the fuck out of here because dumb shit about to pop off.
You know what? Dude, I thought it was just me.
No, it's not.
I cannot tell you how many times I'd have been in the Dragon's Den or the Duck Off, a Caesar.
Yes.
And I'm just like, I don't like the vibe. And I'm like, that's watching us. People. I'm looking at the way people talking to each other.
Oh, you see it.
I'm like,
you observe.
You know what? I'm just going to leave. I don't even say shit. I just dip. Mm-hmm. Like, if you.
Irish goodbye the fuck out of everybody. Holla. I'm out this thing.
Like, and whoop whoop.
Yeah, other motherfuckers don't see that. And it's like, how did you not see that about to pop off?
Told they about to fight, and I don't know who got a gun tonight. I'm out.
I don't know who has a gun. Somebody's going to get shot. And the way this nigga talking on his pants, it seems like he about to start shooting. And he don't know how to shoot at all.
And this motherfucker here is actually crazy, and they don't care what happens.
At all.
So let me get out of the same room. Let me get out the same room. Right, I don't. Because you don't care what happens to me. I can tell. I can tell what kind of crazy you are.
And you might have children. You probably don't give a fuck about them, though.
You know what I'm saying?
You don't want to see them no more. You try to
build. Oh, like at the second line where just like there's like a lull. It's like, I don't know. I feel something.
There's a silence. I don't like this.
Yeah. Let me move.
Yeah.
Let me move.
That's us. That's our little... That's our quirk, you know. Like if we were to manifest something, we can't disappear, but we know how to get the fuck out of a sticky situation.
We really, really do.
Yeah,
but that's even with just crazy people in general. Like I could tell the type of person that I don't want to have a conversation with, so I avoid it. Like I can see them interacting with other people in the room, and I say, "Oh, you the type of person that's gonna make me cuss you out." So let me just not even.
I should see. I don't. Sometimes I don't. I don't address that in my head. I'm like, nah, man. Eventually, this person's going to snap out of whatever the fuck he's in right now.
No.
And usually, I am wrong in that. Because I want to give people the benefit of the doubt. I really judged that poorly the other night. I remember it was this one dude. And, like, his thing, every time after he said something, it would be like, because he wants to say nigga. When you can't say nigga, so his thing is, you know, bro. So every time I feel like this, you know, man, fuck them hoes, bro. You know, this is how we gonna be, bro, man. And it's, you know, it's brothers for life, bro. And I'm like, yo,
okay.
I don't condone any of this right now.
Right,
sir.
I see
I'm
what
like,
you're inching at.
Yeah, I don't. This doesn't make me feel comfortable with you at all.
Yeah.
And we are the same size, and he is just snappy. And I'm like, all right. Now, if we do get into some type of altercation, like, say, in the future, and if I was to continue with this meaningless friendship that this was come about,
right.
Where would this go? And I'm like, right. Oh, he'll probably pop off at the fucking mouth, right, and then get bashed on.
And then get popped in the mouth.
Right, so, and then I'm going to have to be there and be like, all right, we just two small niggas about to, you know.
That's what I need you to know your lane.
Swing for the fence.
I need
exactly,
you to know your lane.
Exactly.
Please.
And he don't know it at all. Like, his first thing to tell me, he was like, yeah, man, I've been to jail, bro. I've been to jail,
okay.
You know.
Haven't we all? We all have had bench warrants.
Like, hey, like, you know don't. What? We're not even talking about jail. For you to bring that up, it seems like you're stereotyping, sir. But
like, who else has been to jail?
since you hard, okay, you know, yeah.
So yeah, nigga, I sat down for a week and counted for a bitch warrant.
My like, times, you know. Damn, he was like, yeah. As soon as I went in there, you know, I just went in there for like a traffic warrant or some stupid shit or something like
right.
that, and I had something on me. Went in there and went to the biggest dude. He was like, hey, man, what you in here for? I was like, man, fuck that, bro. We can go. I was like, man, he was just asking you a question. You know what? I don't think you needed to set up a square or nothing like that to fight this motherfucker immediately as soon as you get in there.
But that seems apropos of nothing. Like, the whole story that... It seems like it has no place. And that's the people that I pay attention to. And I say, I'm staying away. When you start talking about a lot of things, or are you offer up a lot of information that nobody asked for?
Yes.
And I'm like, okay.
Yes.
You stay over there, and I will stay over here.
I don't want none of this.
Because I'm going to cuss you out. Because I know you're going to say something that'll make me cuss you out. Like, I already know that.
There was so much that I don't have... I don't have the meanness in me. Until something happens bad to me, then that's when I retaliate. Mm-hmm. But until then, it's like I'm really nullified to the dumb shit. So it's like I just play along and be like, hey, this is a very stupid conversation. You understand that this is not going to get us anywhere. And, like, you're probably going to go nowhere in life. Like, right now, how I feel about you and how...
you just been condemned this person for life. Definitely. Like, for the rest of your life, because nothing's going to happen for you.
Because you're here and it doesn't seem like you can change. Like, I want to be here to help you change a little bit. But no, you can see that by the way they're going and how they're talking to a person that there ain't nothing about the change about them. And it's like, well, I don't... This is terrible.
I don't give a fuck about what nobody changed. Keep it far away from me. Keep that over there. I'm straight.
How long you been doing comedy for?
Long enough. But technically, it's a weird start because I started in 2011.
Okay.
In San Antonio for like 2 months, and then I moved back to home. And then I moved. Yeah, I'm a Louisiana baby.
Well, yeah, the accent came out slightly just now. You try to hide that, don't you?
I do. I really do. Because you know people. When they hear the accent, they treat you like, you know, like a leprechaun, like some little Irishman just popped out. Oh, shillelagh. And they want you to, like, perform for them and do a little jig.
Country.
And, right.
Please
and so,
say this.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, did you just say aluminum foil? Yes, I said aluminum foil. What else do you want me to call it? Foil, yes.
Rolled up the road.
You know what I'm saying? Like, fuck. So, yeah, I said it like that. Get over it. But, so I started for 2 months in San Antonio, moved back to Hummer. Then, I moved to Dallas in 2012, and then I didn't even start back doing comedy again for a year. So, I started back again in 2013, and I've been doing it ever since. So, let's just say 7 years total.
So, we're about around the same route. Same age.
Yeah, 7 years.
When it comes to comedy. Oh, yeah, because I've been doing it about 8 years, and I think this will be nine, coming around nine.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I've been in the game for a minute. You know, we're not toddlers no more.
No, we're not babies.
Yeah, we're about to be preteens in this thing.
Yeah, that's true.
It's been a wild ride. You see the people that actually just start off, and it's like, oh, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to keep this like this, and I need to do that. And it's like, oh, go ahead.
Right.
Burn yourself out on that.
Well, I mean, I can appreciate somebody being ambitious. I don't interfere with anybody else's
journey. Oh, no. I love it. I definitely let them go.
And I'm not going to tell them nobody. I can't tell nobody whether they're wrong or right because what work for you, go work for you. Mm-hmm. And what don't is what don't. And that's what I can't stand about comics who've been doing it a while. Like, even some comics who've been doing it like 10 months feel like they could give people advice.
The negativity that comes from these motherfuckers.
And it's like, and it's not even negativity. It's kind of like an arrogance about it. Like, just because you done been on stage a little while, that don't mean that you now in a position to start telling niggas what they doing wrong, what they doing right, and they should do this and they should do that.
Yeah.
Like, quite frankly, you could barely hit a setup punch. So why are you over here? Like, what are you doing? You still at the same open mics. Like, why are you giving somebody advice about how to do something that you don't even know how to do? Clearly, but you think you know how to do it just because you've been doing it a certain amount of time. Like, just repetition does not necessarily a master make. Mm. So just the instance of being on stage over and over again, but you still making the same mistakes over and over again. You won't adjust. Right. You don't know how to read a room. You don't know that this joke that you're trying to say is not going to work the way you want it to work. But meanwhile, you know what I'm saying, in the green room saying, oh yeah, nigga, you got to get on Instagram. You got to do this. You got to do that. Nigga, shut up.
No, that don't work for everybody. That's not everybody's forte. Now you're trying to force the comic into doing this one thing because everybody else is doing it.
Right.
And that's hopping on the bandwagon. I've always told myself I'm not going to hop on the bandwagon.
Well, it's not even a bandwagon. We all got our own lane. And what works for people, like what works for people that are on the Instagram and YouTube and doing the snaps and stuff, like, that's great. Like, I used to love Vines. Like, I thought they were just so creative and just so wonderful. And I've never had that motivation, but I love watching them. So I understand it, but at the same time,
it's a different motivation.
You can't tell me that's what I gotta do to get on.
Right.
But no, what you gotta do, you gotta get your Instagram followers up. You gotta start putting out more videos. That's nigga, shut up. You gotta make a viral video. Fuck you.
That's
I don't wanna be.
Because motherfuckers don't think that. They don't know that. They just know what's in and what's hot right now.
Right.
Until a motherfucker comes and brings another way to introduce themselves. They're like, oh, so I ain't got to do this no more? And you don't. You never had to do that in the first place.
You never do.
Like, who said you had to do that? Like, it is, that shit, oh, man, that shit that drives me crazy. Because I'm like, man, everybody's saying that this needs to happen. You need to do it this. You need to do it that. But before all this, how motherfuckers was doing it? Like,
right. And so, and then what people need to understand is stand-up comedy ain't for everybody.
No.
It goes both ways. Like, just like everybody don't need to be making videos on the internet, everybody don't need to be doing stand-up.
Not everybody's good at it. Not everybody's good at it. And some people don't just put up shit just because you need content. Nah. Nah. Fuck that. At least make it decent. If you're gonna thinking about putting something up, I mean, put your all into it. Make it a part of you. Don't just be like, all right, I got something up there, and I just need to keep doing this. No, I hate that. The shitty showmanship. It's like, if you're gonna stick around with something, you're not even gonna put the time or the effort to make it quality. You're just gonna give something real shitty.
I mean, but they don't. I don't know if they know it's shitty. It's that whole Dunning-Kruger effect. Yeah.
Oh, good.
They don't always know, and that's. Again, this is
that's,
why...
It's so wild that people have that.
It's why I refrain from actually telling anybody anything about what I think about what they're doing unless they ask me. And even when they ask me, I try to remain objective and try to meet a person where they actually are.
Yeah.
I don't want to turn comedians into me. Like, when you ask me for advice... And they ask me, well, how do you do this? How do you... Like, it's not for me to say, oh, well, you got to do the punchline like this because that's what I would have done. Or you...
Yeah, and you see that a lot.
You know, and that don't help nobody. Like, you can't turn nobody into you. You got to meet them where they are.
What I've seen, because a lot of newcomers come up to me and they ask me, it's like, oh, man, how you do this? How you get there? How you do that? And it's like, nigga, no. This is... It's not a how-to game, son.
Right.
This is all on you. This is
right.
You.
It's
you
exactly.
You got to be yourself.
And that's all I tell them. That's all I tell them. You have to get to a point of knowing who you are.
Yeah.
And being self-aware. You have to get to a point where you're confident in your own body and your own skin and you're able to tell your own story any way you want to tell it. And then me, I go up on stage and sometimes I talk about stuff that's actually happened to me, but that's not for everybody. Some people just tell really funny, like, wacky type of stories, just completely making up stuff, completely fictional. And if that's what works for you, then you should definitely do that. So I can't tell you how to tell a joke. All I can tell you to do is the best thing for you to do is to know yourself inside out.
Ooh, that's the best way.
And to be honest with yourself about who you really, really are.
Honesty. Everybody likes honesty. I was telling them because I guess updates, nigga job working with hosting and doing bingo and shit, and the people that I work for, the manager of the company, he finally came down for the first time. We finally got to see him today, and so I got to shoot shit with him and all that. And I was like, yeah, man, I do comedy. He was like, oh, man, I've been looking to do comedy because all I do is, you know, bingo shows and shit. And the bingo show's been popping off. Like, man, I got like 3 bingo shows a week.
Okay.
You know, so I get paid to do this. And I also do some Spotify DJ shit. But more and more people have been loving it. They're like, oh, we like your personality. We would like to see more of you. And, you know, that's the thing that I'm looking into getting more of now. And when I was talking to him, I'm like, yeah, basically, you know, people want to see more. They want to have more entertainment. And that's what most people are asking for. Most people are asking for comedy and shit.
Mm-hmm. Which is strange because I hate stand-up comedy so much.
I don't. And see,
it's
subjective to everybody. And I'm not really sure where I was supposed to be going with that. But
see, this is the weed. This is the weed.
I love it though. I love it. That's how it works. But you know, and it's good because I get to talk about, like, actually, you know, coming out here now, since all the shit that I have been through, like, shit is looking up. Like, I'm trying to not get into doing electrical. I'm trying to do more entertainment stuff.
Right.
And basically that's what's happening here. But to do more entertainment, I gotta be able to read these rooms.
Yeah.
And so it's not just coming out here, you know, I'm actually doing like surveillance. I'm doing, you know, fucking seeing what people like and what people want. And it's paying off. It's paying off more now.
But it's different from New Orleans. Like, when I was in New Orleans doing comedy, you know, however brief my stay was, like, I think I moved March 2018 and I left November 2019. So I was there less than 2 years. And I just noticed the striking difference just in the audience. The audience is so nice in New Orleans. They just so nice to get it. They just give it up. Right, they give it up for whatever. Like, in Dallas, it was pulling teeth. You had to really get motherfuckers on your side. Like, you can really... they wanted you to work for it. They like
differences in places.
So, and but I'm thankful for the experience, though, because when you have to go through stuff like that and not having the easiest time doing comedy, there's really nothing that could scare you. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not... There's no stage that I'll go on where I'm just like... Because I'm nervous every time, like, no matter what. But there's no stage that I can go on where I'm just like, well, I don't want to go up here because this type of crowd, this that type of crowd, they not going to like me. Fuck it. Just tell your jokes. And your jokes.
That's what I was going to say. As the more and more of the places I've been doing, the more and more I've been talking to these just random people. And they just like, they, I was telling my manager, I was like, man, people just want to hear, like, life. They just want to hear real situations. They want to hear real stories. Jokes are fine. Jokes are cool. Yeah, but everybody else got a Trump joke just like that. So everybody else is going to be telling the same thing. I was like, nah, nigga, I like to be silly. I'll be silly and I'll talk about life. I'll talk about whatever's happened with me just so that other people, like, people relate to that shit. People relate to the strife that you've been through. It's like, you know, so, you know, when they do come to a show, they don't have to think that, oh, yeah, I can laugh, but, yeah, ain't nobody really going through what I'm going through, so that's why I'm here, you know, so I can laugh. And then, boom, the comic on stage says something about, in a funny way, the same thing that they going through. And they're like, oh, I can relate with that. Oh, I'm glad I came. I don't have to commit suicide tomorrow. And, you know, it's like, good. I feel great. It feels good that I can let that out for you guys, because this is therapeutic for me, and I'm glad that was therapy for you. And I presented to him like that, and he was like, oh, man, that's a good thing. Because I'm like, yeah, everybody, jokes are cool, but, you know, like I said, this is Tell Me a Joke. But I don't really tell jokes. I just kind of tell life situations.
Yeah.
So I can tell you something, but it's going to take a minute. So, I mean, it'll be a joke. It'll make you laugh. But
eventually.
Yeah. It's not about to be right away. I'm not just about to bop, bop. You know,
you'll get it in the car.
Yeah. Take this home and think about it. It's a math problem.
Right. Marinate on this, if you will.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a learning experience that's going to take time. It's not going to come right away. And yeah, people need to know that shit. People need to know that it doesn't come overnight.
Well, yeah, it's a marathon and not a race. And also, it's hard not to look at what other people are doing and say to yourself, why am I not doing that? Or why am I not getting these opportunities? Or not even just that, just, you know, am I not doing enough? Because I see other people. Am I not doing enough? Like, am I doing something wrong? And it's not even because there's two different sides of it. There's the people who become very bitter.
Yeah.
About it and say, oh, well, how he get that? How he get that? Cause I'm funnier than him. I've been doing it longer than him, he get this shot. And then there's the other side about it where you just internalize it and it becomes self doubt. It's like, oh, well, maybe I'm not really that good. Maybe I should quit, or maybe I'm not doing enough. Maybe I should, and then you start pushing yourself like that past your own limits.
That comes over time.
You know, and you start pushing yourself, and you're just like, well, is it me? And it starts to turn into a self-hate thing. It turns into a self-loathing thing and the doubt. So it could go either way.
How do you combat that?
I wish I had an answer.
It's so hard.
I wish I had an
answer. It's just like, come with it and you deal with it. It's like a fight every time.
It really is.
It is a definite battle every time. And I fucking hate it because I see it. I see it all, but I'm getting into a point now where I'm like, I keep telling myself that I don't really like social sites and shit. I'm like, I don't have to do it.
And that's the thing. It was different. And I can't say it was different because I wasn't there, but I imagine it must have been different back in the day when people, they didn't have access to what everybody else was doing.
Right.
They didn't know every move that people were making.
Right.
Because it wasn't just put in front of their face at all times. So
that's why reality shows were reality shows, because it's like, oh, we know this whole person's life now.
Know. But I think now with social media being what it is, especially for people in the entertainment industry or people trying to get into the business, you have access to what all of your peers are doing.
All of them.
Whether you want to know it or not. Because I ain't a nosy bitch. I don't give a fuck what you got going on.
No, I don't care. I don't give a fuck. And it makes me bitter. It makes me bitter. It makes me so bitter. And it's like, fuck you. I'm not about to like this. And it's amazing. I should like it. But I'm not going to like it just because it makes me feel this way.
I feel bad about myself.
Yes. You make me feel dumb now. Like, I'm not doing enough. God damn it. How do I combat this? And I still want to be positive when I go other places.
Yeah.
It's a fucking struggle.
It's rough. And people don't want to talk about it because they feel like it makes them sound a certain type of way, but it's true. It's hard not to feel that way when you have to see what everybody else is doing. And these people that you see every day, these people going to the same mics as you, these people getting, you know, doing the same shows as you, y'all see each other all the time. And then you get on Facebook and it's like, oh, I got this show and I got that show. And personally, it doesn't affect me as much because I've always been an in my own lane type of person. But as it pertains
to... Which is helpful.
Yeah, it, I've always been that type of person. I'm not one to watch anybody else's plate. But when it comes to money, that's my problem. And so when I feel like I'm not really getting paid to do comedy enough, and I hear comics talking about how much they're getting paid, and I'm like, that's when I start saying,
yeah,
what?
we're at that comedy age now to where it's just like, alright, you getting this money and I'm not getting this money? Like, hold on.
And that's what I'm saying. And so hold that, on. Like that part.
What you doing?
It's like, well, what the fuck do I have to do? And that's when it starts, like, when I get frustrated just with the comedy game. Like, that's when I get frustrated with the process itself. Mm-hmm. But as far as being, like, I love seeing the people that I know doing well. I love seeing, like, you know, D.C. and Geneva and, you know, Kalana. Like, I love seeing what they're doing, and I like to see that they're successful because it gives me hope. Like, it makes me feel like, you know,
eventually it's going to pop off.
Right, and it may not, and, you know, there's a lane.
Yeah.
Right, there's a lane for everybody. But that money thing, boy, it keep a nigga up at night sometimes. Like, it really just, it makes me not want to do comedy shit. So, like, you motherfuckers don't care about me no way. Y'all not even going to pay me to come out. Fuck y'all. Like, that's...
Yeah, and I want to find my crowd, but it's like, the way I'm bouncing around, it's like, shit, should I have stayed stationary? Should I have gotten... But the way every time I go somewhere, other people's, the big name people's like, no.
No, you gotta move around.
You gotta move around.
Yeah. Like, that's a given. But then I see other people who stayed in one place, and they doing all right.
So I know some people that's not gonna move.
And they don't have to.
Go nowhere.
And they don't have to. Yeah. And so... And that is kind of rough for me because I hate the moving around part. I really do. Cause
I like to travel. I don't mind.
I like traveling, but it's just that...
I would like a stationary spot.
You know?
Yeah.
And I hate the fact that I couldn't do it the way I wanted to do it in New Orleans because that's home. And I want it to be around people that I actually knew and people that I actually...
And the scene out there is just so easy to manipulate, and you can definitely grow a lot faster out there.
But I think coming from Dallas to New Orleans, it just wasn't right. It just was like, it wasn't necessarily a step backwards. It was just a step in the wrong direction. But I can accept it because you got to try some shit sometimes. You got to try some shit and say...
How's the scene out in Dallas?
Dallas is very... It's quietly very competitive. Because they have a lot of clubs. A lot. There's like two improv clubs. So they got the three
high clubs down there.
Right. And so it's very competitive, and everybody's trying to get those clubs because that's paid work. And then when you get seen by, you know, touring comedians, it leads to other opportunities. It's
like Jesse seeing you the other night.
Right. And so it's like a way through. And so it's very, and so people want to be seen. Every time people go out, like, people be at open mics taking it mad serious. Like, in New Orleans, y'all was so laid back, like, niggas didn't give a fuck. They was like, I'm just having fun. What the fuck do you mean fun? This is comedy. This isn't fun. There's no fun in stand-up comedy.
We know when it comes to open mics and actual shows. Open mics that get our shit off. But, yeah, our open mics are nice, though.
They are, and the crowds are so nice. But I feel like, I always feel like it's hurting comics in New Orleans more than helping them because it's like you being coddled. Like, y'all being coddled out there. And it's like, yo, when you step outside this square,
it took a minute to cultivate that.
It is, when y'all step outside of this world, it's way different.
It's a bubble. It's a bubble.
It is, but I think that's the culture of New Orleans because I felt the bubble when I was living there.
Yeah, everybody feels it.
Like growing up, growing up at home in New Orleans, like I felt the bubble and I always knew I had to get out, but I missed the bubble so much that I was like, I want to go back home. So it's just, so I know it. Like, and I think that's how I identify it because I know what it means to kind of be pushed out of New Orleans and not want to leave.
Right.
And winding up somewhere completely different like Dallas.
Or L.A.
Right? So you wind up somewhere completely, and it's like, oh, shit.
Everybody's in a jagged triangle out there. And it's like, I don't like this at all.
You people are weird.
Yeah.
You people are weird.
I'm a jagged.
And the type of person, I go with the flow. I'm really, I can be really adaptable, but I think it was just the way people interacted with each other that turned me off. It's like every time you meet somebody, so what do you do? You know, like, what do you... It's always like they're trying to make this connection with you to where they can find out...
Right, exactly!
I don't like that. And I hate it. In New Orleans. I swear to God, the whole time I lived at home in New Orleans, nobody ever asked me, what do you do? You just kick it with people you randomly just met. And y'all talk about life and stuff. Y'all laugh, y'all clown, y'all pass the weed, y'all drink. We kicking it.
You know what I'm saying? But I'm here trying to enjoy life.
And we kick it. Like, it's never no airs, like, to be put on. So you leave and you go to a place where it's 100% putting on airs. It's 100%, you know, the game. It's awful. It was awful.
I like people's reaction whenever you tell them that you do something that they're not expecting you to do.
Because nobody ever expects me to say stand-up.
Ever. Nobody ever expects you to be better than what they're doing.
Lord.
The reaction is amazing. I was like, oh, you didn't expect that. Oh, that's good. And why are you asking dumb questions first off? Hi, I'm Kyle. You know, let's start there first.
But it's like people always want, it's like it turns into like a quiz. Like people want to hit you with, oh, so who's your favorite comedians? What shows do you do? Where do you do shows? Where are you? I'm like, oh Lord, can I just exist?
21 questions. All right, 50 Cent. Can we move on to something else?
Like, can we just?
Jesus.
I really just came over here to get to the buffet. Like, I was just trying to re-up on some pasta, bro. Jesus Christ.
That was the thing in LA. People. All right, because Kenny Harris, this nigga, God bless him. Oh, my God. He asked questions. He's like, so, man, what is actually wrong with L.A.? I was just like, it's nothing wrong with it. Everything is beautiful about it. Like, L.A. is amazing. It's an amazing place to be. It's just like, what I came there to do was comedy. And that factor, that little sanction of whatever was going on, like, I'm a crowd reader. I can read, like just how we were speaking earlier about observing shit. And I was like, this is a cesspool. This is not what I want to be in.
Todd, I haven't met one person. I haven't met a single human being yet. I'm waiting. Like, I know that feeling. Like, I haven't met any of you yet. Like, I'm waiting to meet who you are.
Yeah, who you are for real.
I'm waiting to meet
you. Yes, you are trying to be this shit. Yeah. And I don't, like, I've met a few friends that on the outside is like, no, fuck that shit. And I was like, oh, okay, y'all the real. I understand it. But then other people, when I would get in, I would look into their eyes and I'm like, oh, nigga, you soulless, my nigga. Like, I don't even see it in you. Like, you don't even look like you trying. Like, all you want is just that one person that you really good friends with to make it, and then you're gonna try to slide right on it.
And you're just like, okay, well, let me.
It don't work that way.
Let me get on in what I fit in.
And then it's like, I felt like an MIB agent. Like, I had my little goggle on. I could pick out who the aliens was in there. I'm like, I see y'all. No, you know what? this is not what I expected at all. Like I was raised on this. In comedy, I grew up listening to a number of podcasts. So I was like, oh, this is the Mecca. This is where I need to be. But then when I get there, I'm like, this is not.
I have no interest in going in L.A. And I never have.
What I need to be at all.
Because Dallas is like a tiny L.A.
Is it?
Yeah, it's like a little... It is. But we're nicer to each other. The comedians themselves are nicer to each other. Yeah. I would say that. Like, we have a community, but these hoes be talking behind each other back. They be, you know what I'm saying, you ain't shit because of this. They be beefing and stuff. They be arguing in the comments and shit. So it's, which I, you know, thoroughly enjoy. I always watch. I always post up in the comments just to see the Bessie Petty tea unfold.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
I love it.
I take a good shit. Like, let's read today.
Like, oh, okay, well, let's see what let's this is about. Who about. Stole whose joke? Ooh, girl. Shit. It's going down.
Know. It's who going... should I avoid?
Right. So, you know, you just see all the messy drama and this person got booked here, but they only got booked because blah, blah. Everybody... It's like this thing where, like I said, it's when you see everything that people do, it's either a bitterness or a self-doubt thing or a mixture of both. Mm-hmm. And they project that onto each other sometimes. But like I said, it's competitive and everybody's looking for their way in. And everybody's very career-oriented and career-focused when it comes to comedy. And I love it. I appreciate the experience and what it was. But at the same time, I mostly... don't involve myself in it. I just do comedy and fuck the rest.
That's a good mentality.
But it don't help. No, it don't help me because
it's a good mentality to have you get past the other shit, though.
You say that, but the people who be in the mix the most are the ones who be getting the, you know, booked at the clubs and stuff because they willing to play the game.
Shit, yeah. And see, I think about that just as well because I got a friend that he... He's like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm gonna go and ask. And I'm like, all right, I know it's my, I need to stuff because ain't nobody just gonna come up to me and be like, hey, right, take this. I know I you need really to get do. In there, but I never was that person to just be like, hey man, let me get this, let me get that, let me try to do this, let me try to do that. But I understand that this day and age, like, you know,
that's what it has to be.
It's a big fishbowl, and yeah, I'm gonna get in there, but I'm gonna do it the way I feel feasible for me because I don't feel like one of those grimy motherfuckers. That's
right,
just,
those greasy. Yeah. Always, you got the Birdman hands.
Let me, you know, shit. You know, once I touch that thing, niggas, let me go, fam. Bow. And I don't want to be that nigga.
Niggas like this. And the thing is, they can talk themselves up like that. And it's like, sir, again, I haven't heard you land one punchline setup situation. I haven't heard you construct a single joke. I haven't heard you say anything original, but they get booked because they know how to play the game. Right. They know how to talk themselves up. They know how to advertise. These niggas be walking commercials for themselves, and it works out.
Works out well.
So I can't necessarily knock it. Nope. It's just that for me, knowing that that's not who I am.
It's frustrating.
Because I don't hate on nobody for what they get, but it's frustrating for me knowing that it's like that's what's expected of you.
But I feel like once it does pop off, there's no stopping it once that happens. Like once it gets to rolling, they're going to be like, oh shit, we've been missing out. And then
yeah,
like,
exactly.
Oh, here you go. Let's get it.
And I'm just trying to be patient about it.
Yeah,
that's it.
It's just patience. That's all. That's all the motherfuckers waiting for. I got a little picture up that says, once it's my time, I'm gonna be overprepared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Oh my god.
Amen.
once you give me that moment, bitch, I'm gonna Kevin Hart the fuck out this shit.
Yeah. And of course, I look at things like that, which is a good mindset to have. And being, you always got to stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Right. I got two extra jackets in the trunk.
You know,
just
whatever.
In case. I'm prepared for any type of weather.
Yeah. So why are you doing this podcast? What's this about?
Basically, this is about what we're talking about. Really? Tell me your joke.
Well, I know, but what's the impetus?
Chasing the dream. We are dream chasers out here. We are people that are
I know, but
to...
why another podcast? There's a
well,
million of them.
Just because, like, for other people that have no structure or have nowhere to go, because everybody's like, well, I mean, nobody tells you how to do comedy or anything like that. You know, nobody knows how to do this. And since this is like a guideline to how we are actually functioning out here, being our own entrepreneurs, our own logos, our own models, you know, it's just something for people to listen to give them hope, you know, instead of just always wondering and, you know, maybe give people a direction, especially if they want, because this is what got me into comedy. Not really podcast itself, but just like just listening, because I've always wanted to do, I never knew I wanted to do comedy until, like, I was, like, sanctioned as, like, you are the next person. It feel like I was like, all right, boom, you are the next person up to actually be a comedian person.
Well, who said that?
Like, it just felt that way because ain't nobody, like, I never knew that I was supposed to be a comedian growing up, I never knew that this was my path to take until, like...
But you have such, like, a silly personality. I feel like that's always who you've been.
Always. Yeah. I was always that, but I never knew that, hey, this is what I should do. Like, right. I just always wanted to be in the spotlight for some reason. And then somebody told me, and then, boom, that was my golden
ticket.
Like,
you know there's a spotlight right over there.
Yeah.
What? Word?
Like, wait. This is what I should be doing?
Tell niggas say word?
Yeah. So... That was the lane I should take, and I was like, well, okay, I guess since this is what I'm gonna do, like I had no clue where this was going. So to for other people that have no idea of where this should go,
right?
They have a podcast they can listen to that can maybe get them there. Because once I started, this is all I had. Because ain't nobody was coming to tell me, oh, this is what you should do. My uncle was a dick.
Aww.
He was a fucking dick. He was like, oh, you want to do comedy? Well, you got a set for this. You got a set for that. You ain't got no set for these type of people. I was like, I don't know. I just started. He was like, oh, yeah? Well, here's a remote. Do comedy. I was like, what?
Yeah, I hate that shit.
And that was the first time I did comedy, and it was for my people. And I did like 20 minutes, and I had my daddy crying laughing. I was like, oh. Uh-oh, okay, you done switched the brain, you done switched it in my head, I got it now. So from then on, I was like, okay, and then fucking listening to Stitcher and Joe Rogan, and then podcasts, like, yeah, Comedy Store, you need to do this, these many hours, yada, 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 and I was like, all right, fucking taking notes, jotting down, all right, this is where I need to go, this is where I need to be, and most of that shit, yeah, it's lucrative to listen to because they have been
to have a guideline to see what other people are doing.
Yeah, to see how they
and to see what works
their
for state. You.
Right, exactly. Right. But to know what you really should do, I mean, you got to kind of figure that out yourself.
You really do. All you can do is try things.
And basically, this is so people, because most people just want to learn something. They just want to hear something. They want to read it from somewhere. They don't want to do hands-on. They just want to go see it first. So it's like, if I have something to actually give them, like, some type of structure beforehand, and then, boom, that's helpful for somebody.
Yeah, I agree.
And, everybody's perfect for it. You basically, as soon as you start talking, it's like, oh, well, this is something to learn. This is something to learn. This is a good outlook on looking at this aspect of comedy.
Hmm.
Since actually you've been in it for quite some time.
That's true.
Like I've talked to many people that haven't been in it for long, people that have been doing it for a very long time. So I think the most interesting person so far was Nonsense.
Oh, yeah. Nonsense. Okay. Yeah. I met him one time. Literally.
Very interesting dude.
Yeah, I met him literally one time.
Oh, man. Had a very good conversation with him.
Nonsense. What he had to say. How long has he been doing comedy?
Oh, about 4 years, I think, like that. Yeah, 4 to 6, something like that. He's real, but he's very, very ambitious with it. He's one of those people that don't want to go nowhere. He's like, man, I'm...
Just make it happen in New Orleans, yeah.
Yep.
And I feel it. And some people could do it. Like, D.C. does it. It's amazing to me. Like, I marvel at what he's able to do, and I wish I could do it too.
Goddamn,
but
Corey Mack and Ina,
right?
Corey
Mack, Mark C's in them, like they just doing big things, and I love it. And Shoddy in them, it's dope. And I'm just like, why can't I just do it at home? But I have come to the conclusion that fate will have its way with me.
Yes,
and I just kind of have to go with the flow. Better.
One of those outliers. We're one of those that come from the other side, because we're not like that city.
Right.
We, especially the way we speak, the way we talk, we don't speak New Orleans, but we're from. We are so bred from there. So when we go other people are like, oh, man, you from New Orleans.
They understand. Right. So, oh, so you're from Louisiana.
Yeah, we have a demeanor about us. They understand that. But to be able to branch out to other places, that's what brings other shit back to New Orleans.
Right.
That's how I look at it. I call that my happy feet, mumble. Because these aliens took our fish, and we need to go tell them, hey, look, We got motherfuckers over here doing amazing shit. Come bring the fish back, and then also come check this shit out. And, you know, that's
what. But I as much as I wanted to be in the city doing it, I knew I wasn't supposed to be there. That's why I left. Like, I left and went to Dallas with, you know, 3 suitcases and a air mattress. Like, I didn't have a car. Like, I had nothing but a job, 3 suitcases and an air mattress.
There?
What?
Did you bust to Dallas?
No, I took a plane, but it was a one-way trip. Yeah. It was a one-way trip. But I applied for a job. I went on a job interview, and I moved. And they said I got the job. I said, well, that's it for me. I'm going. Because I was trying so hard. And it's so funny how the universe works. If people try to say that it don't mean nothing and that it's not true. But look, my nigga, garbage. When I tell you, I have been, the universe has pulled me, literally, just brought me to Texas. This is the third time, and I've never wanted to be in Texas for any reason. It's the third time I've been dropped here as a matter of circumstance. And it's the same thing every time. I'm trying to stay in Louisiana, trying to stay in New Orleans, looking for a job, like, hard. Looking for a job, like, qualified as fuck, but can't even get an interview. I come to Texas and get something immediately. And I'm doing comedy, and it's going wonderful. Like, it happens the same. This is the third time it has happened the same way. The first time when I went to San Antonio, I didn't find a job. But comedy started going good really fast. But I had to leave because of the living situation. And then I said, I'm not going to stay here forever without a job. I can't live off of somebody. So I said, if in 3 months I don't find a job, I'm going back home. Mm-hmm. And then I think, so that was like November 2011. March 2012, I had a job in Dallas. I applied to one job in Dallas and I got it. I've been applying for jobs in New Orleans since January of 2018. Couldn't find shit. I get here. I'm in Houston, Texas. Don't want to be here because of the circumstance. I'm here for a week. I got a job. I said, you know what, Lord?
I see what
you're
doing.
I said, you know what? I said, Mama Oya, I see what you're doing.
Yeah.
Lord, I see what you're doing. All right. I acquiesce. This time, I'm not going to fight it. I am not going to fight it. So I am here.
Yeah.
And I know whatever my blessing is, it must be somewhere in Texas because it's the third time.
Yeah. I feel
I'm gonna stop. I'm not going to be stopping.
I kind of feel the same way. Like, ever since, like, meeting this motherfucker today, meeting Doug today, this guy, the manager guy, like, we had a weird moment with him just because, like, I immediately connected with him. I connect with people immediately. As soon as I meet people, but like we connected, and I told him like, "Boom, this is what I want to do." Yada yada yada. I'm having fun. Yeah, I made people cry and shit. They teared up. Yeah, I mean, they. I seen them in the wells in the eyes and all that. Somebody was getting married and shit. They was like, "That's sweet. We like you." It's like, "Yes, we working." And so you know, he was very enthused by me, and like we connected real quickly. So like we became like real good buddies, As we was having a meeting, he stood directly behind me, like so close, like I could feel the heat from this nigga meat package, like just right here. I was like, yo, man,
you want to step back?
Yeah, all right, man, we cool, you know. Man, I like this. I like how we bonded real quick, you know. Good to meet you, sir, but I don't need your meat, like right here.
Like, could we
right here? But it was.
Could you get your dick off my shoulder? Thank you.
Thank you. I was like, all right, this means a lot. I felt like Lion Cub, you know. I felt like I'm being introduced into the pack now.
Right, everything the light touches.
Yeah. So. And ever since I've came down here, my dad was like, "Hey man, you smiling?" I'm like, yeah.
Ain't that something?
Yeah.
Ain't that crazy?
Yeah, that's fucking wild.
Like, every time I've been living, because I usually wind up living at home or with my mom and them, and I'm always miserable. And I'm like, why do I keep coming back to this place where I'm always fucking miserable? But why do I want to be here so bad?
Right. It's that voodoo.
I just love New Orleans so much.
The voodoo of the city, man.
But I've said all my life, I cannot live in New Orleans because I will get lost in somebody's dive bar and never come out.
No,
like you will find me, you know, somewhere down St. Claude at any given day. You know what I'm saying? Find me somewhere uptown, you know what I'm saying? Somewhere in the third ward, posted up at the bar room. And that's it.
I be telling people, I've met people that have been in New Orleans. They're not from New Orleans, but been there longer than I have been alive. And I was like, whoa, what happened? It was like, oh, man, came down one time for a party and just never left.
That's how they got Geneva. Left. Like, goddamn, Geneva, you just.
I was like, you never left? It was like, yeah. Had other shit to do back at home and everything. Said, I was fuck like, it. You just.
Said, fuck it.
like a
Harlem Nights, like, talking about a hello, darling. I'm never coming back home.
Yes, click.
Take it easy.
You just uprooted like that. Yeah, I just said, fuck it. I love it down here.
So, what about the kids? Fuck them kids.
Never left. I played child support. We all
right. Right.
Had me a good little life. Started a new life and everything. It's like, okay. All right. And they swear they know the city.
And it's like, okay.
Sure.
All right.
I don't know how you do shit like that, but
yeah, it has a way of sucking people in.
Yeah.
And in New Orleans is just for some people, and it's not for me for what I want to do right now, and I have to be okay with that. And I am, finally.
Yeah.
After all this shit.
I just understood I probably just needed to dip out and go see some other shit. I'm one of those people that just need to really, other people, motherfucker came up to me in L.A. and was like, nigga. He was really fucking high and drunk.
I'm sure he was.
But I love it. That's when the truth comes out of everybody.
When you slept.
Yeah. he was like, son, he gave me, he embraced me. He grabbed my hand, shook my hand. He was like, son, because I did some of my comedy poetry with him. And he shook my hand. He was like, son, I didn't know what you was going to come up there and do. Like, I seen you in the back. And every time I see you, son, you always quiet and you don't really say nothing. Because it's like, oh, you just going to wait your turn. You just going to wait your turn because you know you got something magical for everybody. He was like, dude, what you did up there, that was fucking amazing. I knew you had something. I did. I swear, I knew you had something.
I knew
you goddamn had something. I just couldn't wait. Motherfuckers need to see you. Before you leave this earth, God's telling me that some motherfuckers need to see you. So keep bringing that shit out there. You hear me? I was like, yeah, man. Thank you, son. Thank you. I was like, oh, shit.
And you better than me. When people, because people come up to me like that, and I'm like, all right, well, you know, the Jameson on your breath is singeing my eyebrows off, so could you just fall back? You drunk bitch. Just, you're a mess.
Man, he was high as the fuck. We was all high in there. And I was like, oh, I appreciate the shit out of this.
But yeah, I think I just never trust people when they tell me nice things. I think that's
It's very hard to. As a humbling person, it's very.
So what the fuck do you want?
Yeah, it's like, I don't do compliments. Like, I don't get compliments.
I don't have any money. Jeez.
It does feel like something else is coming from that. It's like, oh, do you need something now?
Because
do
I don't have nothing for you.
Do you?
Nothing.
Do you want me to give you something from here?
Am I supposed to return a compliment? Because I don't know you. And I just, I feel like I have to. I always feel compelled to say something nice to them, too. Because, like, you say something nice to me, and it's like, I don't have anything nice to say about you because I don't fucking know you.
I don't know you at all.
I don't know anything about you. Or it was really hard for me when comics that I don't think are funny at all and I wish they would quit comedy. When they tell me nice things, I'm just kind of like, oh, shit, why would you come over here and do this? Because now I feel very guilty. Feel very, very guilty that I can't say anything nice about what you just did on stage.
It's very hard.
It is painful for me.
I just say thank you.
Yeah, I just say thank you so much. And I'd be like, I like your kicks, bro. Those are nice. Yeah. Where you get them from?
I don't even try to compliment anything else because I'm going to fuck it up. I know I will.
I'd be like, your face is B, by the way. Like, I can find something else.
I don't even think I was inside for your set. Yo, man, hey, keep it going, man. Yeah.
I won't say nothing about their comedy, but I will compliment what they have on. I will say that they're very nice or something.
If you're going to get a compliment from me, I'm going to come up to you and give you the compliment. I'm not going to, I'm not going to banter back and forth with you with compliments.
That's me. That's what I do.
I don't watch your comedy. I don't watch it. It's very hard for me to remember.
I'll say everything but comedy. Like, I'm not about to
I don't know how most people. I don't know how most people remember shit like that. It's like, oh man, that joke or that bit about such and such. I was like,
if it's really funny, I do remember it.
You, Chad, it doesn't even matter to me.
Yeah, if it's really funny, I do remember it.
Just so many things going on through my head. Like, as soon as the person gets off, boom, it's gone.
But there are some comics, like, I'll be able to tell them, like, I really like that joke.
Well, yeah. Well, if it's certain shit that I really, really like, then yeah. But tomorrow, I won't remember what the fuck I said. I definitely won't. Yeah,
no, yeah. I do. I be remembering, like, oh, yeah, he's the one that... Actually, I remember that better than I remember people's names. Because you could tell me a name and all this. I remember more details about a person's life. I'll never remember your name. But it's like, oh, yeah, you said you went to LSU and you work at Lockheed Martin and now and you moved from Matt to Houston. Like, yeah, I can remember all those things, like... off the top of my head, but it's like, but what's your name now? Cause I don't.
Yeah, I don't do Google's names either.
Right. So.
Names, I can remember people's. I can remember people's shapes. I can do that.
Oh, that fat bitch! I remember you.
Yeah. You. Oh, you the one. That's that knock knee hole.
Oh wait,
man.
I have to teed it.
Teed it. Good old times, everybody. Man, future present speaking. This is working. Things have been picking up. Things have been going pretty well. You know, like I said, this host gig has been picking up. They're thinking about giving nigga more shows. Talking about doing some retirement homes and shit. Nigga, retirement homes for the old folks. Old folks like to pinch cheeks and shit. I'm about that pinch cheek and shit. So, you know, I'm about getting into it. Let's see what else happens from here. Keep me from fucking getting back into this electrical. That's what I'm trying to do. Hashtag no electrical. Hashtag no electric. I'm gonna just try. But I mean, if side jobs come up, then you know I'll get into it if I need be. But you know, money is money. I makes it as I can. but this is going well though. This is going fabulous. My old folks are liking me at the bars. And I like three bars. Three, two. Three. Working on Mo.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah. How was that?
How was great? Oh, man.
Revitalizing.
Nothing like a good piss.
Nothing like a good piss.
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what.
Good times. Yeah, well, I mean, shit. This is, you know, we've been talking about it now.
Word?
Yeah. We just got in it. Yeah, fuck checking levels. I think it sounds great. It looked like it was good.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But this has been a good goddamn time.
Baby. I agree. It's always a good time with Kyle.
Yeah, man.
I remember when I met you. I liked you when I met you. I was like, oh, he's a good one. You and the homie. But I also met Kenny that same night and I almost whooped his ass.
Oh, you talking about me, John, and fucking Kenneth. That whole little trio. Good old Kenny.
Yeah, boy.
I did a podcast with him. He was like, hey, man, let's do another one of them podcast things. He had fun the first time. He was like, let's do another one tomorrow. I was like, it doesn't work that way.
Wait, we are not doing a podcast every day.
No. And I'm not, especially not with you every day. Nah, we all right.
I remember I met all three of Owen and Jackie.
Good old Jackie.
Jackie Jenkins.
Woo! Jackie is. Yeah, shout out Jackie Jenkins, man. Go check Jackie Jenkins on fucking on YouTube, man.
He's
doing some shit. Motherfucker got on his ass in the comedians group.
Because
he put one of his things. He's like, hey, man, don't be using Kobe as a such and such. And Jackie's like, man, fuck you, nigga. Nigga, I ain't fucking good. And yeah, nigga, Jackie,
you watch Jackie don't give a fuck. Like, Jackie don't give a fuck.
Are you serious? I knew the person that he was talking to. And I was like, "Oh man, don't do this, dude."
Yeah, Jackie,
like,
don't give a fuck, man.
Yeah, go hard, Jackie. But this dude here, I was like, that was ain't nobody. And like, it seemed like people looked at it, but ain't nobody paid attention to it. Like, oh, we just gonna
and I saw it, but like the exchange, and you know, like I said earlier, like I'll read it when I just sitting on the toilet or whatever. And yeah. I guess I never got back around to it, and it fell in the review or whatever. and then it'd be so much mess that go on that page that you can't say the name of.
Oh, right. It's so wild. I still haven't
said you can't
I
say.
I still haven't said the name
we,
of it.
We can't say the name of the group, but shit so be going crazy. Down, and I live for the messy petty tea. That's all I be in it for. Other people complain about it. I don't know. So, girl, this is the best part of my day sometimes. What are you talking about? Yeah. What are you talking about? Yeah, just reading the comments. But I have a rule. My rule
it's like
is
going to the community pool.
My mantra is I don't argue with hoes on the internet, and I'm not breaking that for anyone.
Oh, man.
So I don't ever put my two cents in. I don't have time. I don't have the energy.
No, I don't. I have said something and somebody has rebuttal. And then I was like,
I'm going to leave this alone.
I actually went through a little rabbit hole with it. And then I was like, all right. I guess this person didn't understand. But it's just a whole misunderstanding.
If I say something and somebody come back with something, I have nothing to say. I'm not going to argue.
Yeah, most of the time, I just leave it alone.
I don't have time for this.
And I think that time, I purposely wanted some flack. Just to see how it felt for a little bit.
And I know people have that. I know people have that urge and people have that tick. Like, I just want to get in some mess. I do not have any of that at all. Yeah. I have the urge to watch it. Like, I be wanting to see some messy petty shit, but I never want to be involved. Because there was a time, I'll never forget, on the Dallas Comedians page, I was involved in some messy petty shit. Not by choice, but somebody threw me in some shit, and I was mostly just... I was just watching the thing, like, God damn.
Since y'all exposed that I was in the room.
And that's basically what it was like. Shit. And I pretty much just watched it like blow by, and I like maybe made like one comment or two, but I like, even if it was my own shit, and I stayed out of it. Like,
a little bit lean in real quick. Hey, you know.
Wow, this is about me. Shit.
All right, back here.
Like, I really was like, ooh, I'm not getting involved in this at all.
Yeah, it gets ugly.
It gets so ugly. It's like, y'all can go back and forth.
And just keep going. You can bring it up years from later. Exactly. Facebook will definitely bring it back up to you.
Remember y'all hoes were going back and forth about that day? Unfortunately,
that was wild shit. some crazy shit have popped up on my brother again. Because my brother's now, like, moved on. And some old shit popped up on Facebook. And was like, hey, remember this cute time that you had? And, it was, and then, like, his ex came up and was like, ah, bitch, that was a lie. it was just them two going back and forth. And I was like, this is so
hateful. This is crazy. But, you know, Facebook has the option where you can manage your memories, they say.
Oh, yeah?
This is some next-level futuristic dystopian bullshit with Facebook. Like, it's just...
It's getting too deep.
It's like, man, managing my memories now? I know it's on a very superficial level. Because, well, at least it is for me, because I don't put really nothing deep or overly personal on Facebook.
It's like a cerebral brain.
You know?
Oh, you got all... You have everything. You basically have...
It never forgets. Facebook doesn't forget.
No. You have all of my emotions and shit.
Like, all of my things stored up. Yeah. I think they're going to repopulate the earth with androids made solely of our social media presence.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Like, all the information of all of our clicks and all of our, you know...
You know what?
If they do... They're just going to create new us's.
If they do, just make me a little bit taller. That's all
I say. Give a nigga, you know, 6 inches.
Yeah, give me a little bit more. Give me 5'9". That would be nice. Little 6 inches on top of that wouldn't be bad at all. Make it average or something like that. Average would be nice.
But yeah, they're going to repopulate the earth with androids that are, you know, with AI that have been, you know, uploaded with all of our social media presence information. And they're just going to put us to work. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're going to put us to work.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. At least we're going to still be there.
It's going to be like WALL-E, except we'll be the ones cleaning the earth up after it's destroyed and all the rich people go away.
Or AI? Well, no, not AI. That was not AI. Robot. iRobot.
Yeah.
Kind of like iRobot. Yeah.
And, except with no humans. It's just going to be us, and we're all WALL-E, and we're all cleaning up the mess that the rich people made.
You seen the movie Surrogates?
Surrogates, no.
With Bruce Willis. I think it was Bruce Willis in there. And everybody, like, they were getting to these little pods. And they would
I did see it. Yeah.
But everybody was just like all old and decrepit in real life, but their pods were like amazing and shit. That's a pretty cool life. Yeah. I mean, I think that would be pretty cool. But then, like, stimulation is key to continue a population. Like, fuck what you're talking about. I mean, the fake shit is cool. Virtual reality is nice. But if you can't feel it. The Japanese have actually made a fuckhole, though.
A what?
A fuckhole to where, like, it's virtual reality that you can go in, but you also have, like, there's a simulated vagina that you can stick your dick in as you're looking at the virtual reality that, like, pulsates and moves and shit. Kind of like a fleshlight, but, like...
So it's like striking vipers.
Fleshlight times 20.
So like
striking vipers.
What? Like that Black Mirror episode.
Oh shit! I haven't seen
it. Man, I'm not gonna ruin it for you. But as a black man, I'm gonna tell you this: you're gonna have to hit the pause button a couple of times.
Oh, really?
You're gonna have to hit the pause button. Put the remote control down. Walk out the room and walk back in. That's gonna happen a couple of times where you say, "You know what, nigga? You look." What? Like I'm just gonna. Like I'm just letting you know right now.
Striking vipers.
Yes, it's the first episode of the latest season.
Oh wow!
And it's so all black folks or whatever. It's Nicole Barry, Anthony Mackie. So it's black people. New Orleans niggas actually. Well, Anthony Mackie and Nicole Barry, ain't they from the city? I know Anthony Mackie is. Nicole Barry, I believe she is. But but yeah, it's. You gotta watch it.
Mm-hmm. I will check that out.
You have Jesus. To watch it. Like in I said, you gonna need a minute God every now and then.
Black Mirror is something else.
You know what I'm saying? Black Mirror.
Yeah, Black Mirror is always something. It's like, oh, there's a twist on top of a twist and then a plot twist on top of that shit. And it's like, boom, I bet you didn't expect this to happen. It's like, oh my God.
But no, man. But this is the thing. As a black person, I didn't pay attention to who wrote that episode. I don't know if it was Charlie Brooker who wrote it. But the fact that he cast black people in this particular one was a genius move because this is the type of stuff that makes black people say, hold on. Bruh. it was the exact type of shit that black people be like, nah, bruh.
Nah,
come on, dude. Like, you get too personal now. You get too personal now. You gotta chill. Like, it's really
too personal.
Like, you doing too much right now. This is the line I didn't feel like crossing. It was cool when you had that white man fucking a pig, but this is too far.
Oh, shit.
This is too far. And that's the funny thing about it. They have so much wild shit happen. That's the first time I ever hit pause on Black Mirror and had to walk out the room. The first time. And I've been watching Black Mirror since it first came out.
I think I need to start binging something. I think that'd be the one to start binging.
I don't know. Black Mirror, you need...
There's so much of it. There's so, and I know it's going to fucking bend my mind.
Personally, I would not be able to take that experience high. Because it's too close to real life.
Oh.
It's like there's right on the edge of the possibility. Like, yeah. It's right there.
Yes, yeah.
And so
that line crossing. It's like, you motherfuckers.
It's like, oh, shit. So now I'm looking at everybody different.
Yes.
I'm looking at every... I don't trust shit around me.
Oh, that is a very, very compelling show.
It is. And like, if I would take, you know, an afternoon to start it. Be gentle with yourself during that time. And you can watch it in... Well, I wouldn't suggest watching it in any order necessarily because there are some episodes that link into each other in a certain kind of way. So watching it in order is probably a good idea.
I like to watch things in order from beginning to end. So usually I'd probably start from the beginning and then just try to just...
Yeah, and then there's the Bandersnatch through. Experience. Like
I've
you
seen
have to,
that and I've watched all outtakes.
Okay. Yeah, I've tried to. I think there's just one that I haven't done, and I keep saying to myself, I'm going to do it, but yeah. I haven't done it yet. But yeah, it's Black Mirror is definitely something to do with your emotional support pet.
Mm-hmm.
Have your therapist online. if you know, you may have to be calibrated correctly, because if you have any type of mental illness issue, it might send you all the way over the fucking
little long
edge.
Rectangle. Make sure you know, Monday through fucking Friday. Through
make
Sunday.
Sure you're steady on your meds, because it could fuck you up. So, but yeah, you have to do that. And I want you. And after you watch Striking Vipers, I need you to tell me how you felt. Lean it. Just because we're in Houston, that don't mean you gotta be.
No. There's just cough syrup, but I was like, hey, niggas, this is codeine. I'm gonna lay the blunt with this.
No, don't get wet.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
No, Kyle. It's 2020. We can't get wet no more. We can't get wet no more. We gotta be alert. Like, we gotta. Like these young kids, all these little young kids, they listen to screw music. They, you know, drinking lean and popping pills and shit. They dying.
Yeah, it's wild. Oh, man, it is so wild.
They not built like us. They wasn't built to last.
At like, all. They not sturdy enough.
You know, they not going to come out of it like Lil Wayne. They just not going to come out of it at all.
They don't go outside and play. They ain't got the pollen and all the dirt in the eyes and shit.
Yeah, Weezy survived like his drug addiction because of how he's made.
How he's raised. Yeah.
Right. We come from a different time. We come from a different time.
You ain't stepped on a crack needle or two. You ain't lived your life, nigga.
You know, everybody's outside not going to survive for like... no reason. Y'all not all going to survive like Paul Wall and them. Like, everybody's not going to survive the lean and the pills.
Oh, definitely not. Nigga, Paul Wall done changed his life. You know, you see how slim he is.
You know what I'm saying? So
he rapping with Toby now. And Toby can be considered as a Christian rapper.
Right,
Toby.
Like...
man, so
young kids listening, leave the pills alone. Y'all not made right.
Who's that? The rainbow kid, somebody just died, somebody passed from it.
Well, I know Juice WRLD.
Yeah, there you go, Juice WRLD. I was saying rainbow kid, the Juice WRLD.
I hate to laugh, but I'm a rainbow kid. What the fuck? Rainbow Kid or whatever. I don't know. All them children look alike. They dreads never tight, and they all different colors. Yeah, like
they
all
want to put something writing in their face. It's like,
right,
why?
Like you motherfuckers.
We can't see that from afar. It just look like some shit on your face.
And man, then the hair dye is never like right. Like they be getting dreads. Mm-hmm. The dreads never tight. Y'all never get a fresh twist.
Yo.
The color is always all over the place. It's always spotty and stuff, and it looks crazy.
Everybody goes for that fucking weekend look, and it's like, we can cut his hair, okay?
All y'all talk about is how much money y'all got, but all you niggas just have to look homeless.
Trashy. Very trashy.
Y'all want to look like y'all literally live on the street.
Looking like a Raggedy Ann doll. I don't like...
And not even just, like, a Raggedy Ann doll that's at the Goodwill and been there for a while. Like, not even, like, fresh out the box Raggedy Ann. Like, Raggedy.
Yeah. And that's what all that little cotton, also what all these little kids aspire to. Let's be like this nigga now.
I don't know why. I mean, I guess we all aspire to something. I wanted to be, you know, Erykah Badu. I wanted to be Lil' Kim. I wanted to be Foxy Brown.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to be Janet Jackson and TLC.
All right. Well, yeah. All of those probably take you down.
So just wanted to make sex.
Yeah. Look at my body.
Right, but not look at my body. I want to make sex on my terms, sir. Like, you're not going to tell me what to do, nigga. You eat my box, and you be thankful. You be thankful if you ever get reciprocated. Because I don't have to.
Yeah, that was women empowerment at its finest.
I know, right?
Yeah. Good times.
Those were
motherfucking white man came up to me and was like, the 95s? Best era ever. I was like, yes, sir.
It was a good time.
Fuck yeah, sir. He was like, ain't nothing bad came out of 95. And I begged you, I dare somebody to argue with me. I was like, you know what? I've actually told that to somebody.
OJ Simpson, he went home in 95. Like, he beat the charges in 95. You know what I'm saying?
It was amazing in 95.
Didn't Hove beat his charges in 95, or was that 97?
I couldn't tell you.
I think it was, when did Reasonable Doubt come out? Was that 97, 94?
It was an amazing year.
It was a great year.
I enjoyed 95.
I had a good time. I think that was the year my boo came out. That was a good one for me.
Ooh, with Usher?
No. That night, I think of you. I want to be your lady, baby. If your game is on, give me a call.
Ooh,
boo.
Put the fucking rollerblade on.
You know what I'm saying? That was a good fucking year,
you
don't dude.
See me there, rank, goddammit.
So that was 95, 96 when, you know, Freaknik was still going on in 95. Those were good times. It was good times to be black.
Good times. All that
niggas had hanging with Mr. Cooper in A Different World and shit. Niggas was living that lifestyle. Living single, Martin.
I'm gonna play outside.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, indeed. TGIF.
Right. We had TGIF, sir.
What?
So what the fuck you know about TGIF?
What? Bitch, we all about to sit down on a Friday as a family.
As a family? And watch Family Matters and Step by Step in Full House?
Get the fuck out
and
of here.
And hanging with Mr. Hoover, nigga, we bounced. Man, look.
Oh, man.
Those were the days.
Good times. That's bonding times. Man, it's like, oh, this is the only thing that's going to be on the TV?
Yeah.
All right, and after this, shit. We're going to do whatever we want. This is from playing outside.
Actually, I recall the OJ car chase that interrupted Family Matters.
Uh-huh.
I was very upset.
That is something to remember.
I was very, very upset. I just remember pissed. Being like, what the fuck is this?
No one cares.
I want to see Urkel. Who the fuck is O.J. Simpson? I don't care.
No one cares about this at all. Yeah, nah, I gave no fucks. Yeah. I'm just like, this is ruining television.
I don't care about any of this.
These motherfuckers are in suits. This is boring. You know,
and then it was on every channel. They had it on ABC, CBS.
Night Court. No, like this at all. This is nothing like Night Court.
This is nothing like Night Court. So they just following this white car and it's nothing's happening. Yeah. Like, there's no explosions. Nobody's dying. I don't care.
Mm-mm. Don't care at all.
I do not care.
I don't even know who this guy is. Oh, he plays football? I don't care.
Whatever. Whatever. Is he on the Saints? Oh. Mm. I don't know.
No idea. Good times.
I know, right?
Good times. Well, before we get out of here, I asked everybody this. I think that most people like this.
Okay.
If you can say a certain Joker personifies you, which Joker would it be?
Which Joker would it be that personifies me?
Yeah, which Joker would you embody the most, would you say?
I don't know. See, that requires me to think.
A little bit. People do.
You know?
It never just comes out right away. And people say, oh, I really want to think about this. Hold on.
Like, I don't even know.
I do enjoy the Jokers.
I don't even know what I would say. I don't even know. I don't know. Because it's just, I feel like they all do. I feel like they are.
For all of them. I mean,
it's just that so much, or rather all of my comedy, I write it from a place where, like, I'm just.
You have a dark truth about you. And it's like, ooh, that's so, it just hard truths at that. It's like, look at reality, bitches. This is what it is.
Right, and it's that place of everything is really fucked up. We may as well laugh about it.
Yeah,
like we may as well. All of this is bad, you guys.
That's a perfect embodiment of a joke. Right. That's exactly what you want. It's like, you like this? Why do you like this? This is life. Why are you precious this shit?
Right.
Boom. This is what life is. Boom. And then blow up a hospital. And it's like,
right. Right. And that's, yeah. And that's like, I think my whole thing is just like, look at us. We're terrible.
Yeah.
Look at all of us. We're so awful. And we may as well laugh about it, because what else are we going to do? Y'all not about to change, nigga. Y'all not about to do nothing productive.
That's so true.
So we may as well wallow in our dysfunction with laughter. Huh. So that's like every joke I have. That's basically what it is.
There you go. God damn it. Well, thank you very much, Dee.
Thank you for having me, Kyle.
Yes. Where can people find you at, Dee?
Nowhere. Look for me, nigga. I don't want to be found. You heard me? Mind your fucking business.
Yeah. Well, follow me at monogaminutes.com. God damn it. You can see me on there. Monogaminutes on Instagram. This has been fun.
Oh, wait. You can buy my comedy album, though, without finding me. So if you have any of the media streaming, the digital streaming platforms, Spotify, Tidal, Amazon, iTunes, all the things, all the major things, Google Play, YouTube Music, whatever. You can find my album. It is called We're All Gonna Die, Practical Nihilism for the Millennial Black Woman. And that my name on everything is DDT. That's DE T. So that's how you find me. I would suggest searching Practical Nihilism. It's the easiest way to find it. So
if you can spell it.
And if you see a black lady glaring at you, that's me.
There it is.
That's me. But don't look for me nowhere else. Just buy the album, bitch.
Amazing. Y'all go check out DDT, man. And this has been Tell Me a Joke, the guideline of chasing the dream. That's all we're doing. We're just out here chasing some dreams, goddammit. Till next time.